Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark. The Phantom Jogger. This incident happened in November of 1994. It was a blustery fall night, and I was leaving my apartment located on the edge of town to attend night school. A block or so down the street is an isolated road that is about half a mile long that connects with the main road leading out of my neighborhood. This is the same road that I used to go to work, school, and take nightly walks when I can't sleep. As I turned onto this road, I thought at first my headlights flashed onto a jogger, so I swerved to miss him, but when I looked, there was nothing there. After breathing a sigh of relief, I continued on my way. Driving approximately 35 to 40 miles an hour, I continued down this road when I noticed through the corner of my eye some sort of white object flapping in the wind. At first, I thought it was a plastic white supermarket bag that had snagged itself on the side of my car. But when I turned to look at it, it was gone. I looked away to focus on the road, and again, it reappeared flapping in the wind. As soon as I turned to look, it again disappeared. A little confused as to what my eyes were telling me, I looked again, but this time the white object floated across the hood of my car and floated straight into an abandoned gravel pit surrounded by a wooded area. It wasn't affected by winds that were blowing that night. I wasn't a bit frightened by what I witnessed, but tried to find a logical answer. Was it debris or something else? I still to this day cannot figure out what I had seen. Was it some white plastic debris that my car picked up? Garbage doesn't float straight across your car. It usually rolls up and over. I still continued to drive and walk this area until I moved out the following spring, but I never saw whatever that was again. The Haunted Apartment. When my husband was stationed to Kadena Air Force Base in Okinawa, you are required to live off base until housing on base becomes available. We were lucky enough to find a large two-bedroom apartment that was on the third floor just outside Gate 5. Only Americans lived in the complex. Okinawans won't live in a place that is haunted, or thought to be, but I really don't know if that's why they didn't live there or not. Anyway, nothing weird happened for about the first 2 months. Then one night I was washing up the dishes from dinner, and while I was rinsing the silverware, I had accidentally put the steak knives in the drainer with the blades facing up. While I was rinsing some plates and putting them in the draining rack, I scraped my arm on the blades of the knives, so I turned them all over, blade down, and went back to wash dishes. My husband came in and was talking to me for a few moments, and when I got through rinsing some dishes and was in the process of putting them in the rack, I discovered all the knives were turned over again with the blades up. This shocked me, and I asked my husband if he turned them over while he was talking to me, and he said that he had not. The next thing that happened was around Christmas. My husband was sitting at the desk working on the computer when all of a sudden he gasped, jerked his glasses off, and scooted his chair back all at the same time. My son and I asked him what was the matter, and he said that something poked him in the forehead just above his left eyebrow. After he calmed down, he decided that it was a muscle spasm and went back to the computer. About 10 or so minutes later, my son, who was sitting in the front room, yelled, "Mom, there's smoke coming out of the bathroom and it's going up the hall." By the time I got in there, it had disappeared. I asked him what it looked like, and he said like a gray smoke or mist that floated up the hall toward the front door and vanished. Then things would turn up missing. You would tear the house up looking for them, and then you would find them in plain sight. And I would always see these dark, darting shadows from the corner of my eye. At first, I thought it was someone passing by the front window, but as time went on, I noticed that there was never anyone there. You could always feel the cool breeze sweep across the floor. It seemed just to happen to me. One afternoon, I was at the sink filling ice trays, and the cold breeze blew just on the right side of my face. It blew my hair on that side and felt like someone was touching me. Now, I know what you're gonna say, and no, I didn't have any windows open, no fans going, and the air conditioner was not on. It was still early spring. About that time, early April, our neighbors upstairs moved on base. Their apartment stayed empty for 3 weeks, and during that time you could hear footsteps. They would sound heavy like an adult or run like a child. You would hear furniture being dragged across the floor, rappings, tappings, and bangings. I thought someone must have moved in and went upstairs to meet the new family, only to find that the apartment was still empty. During the last of May, we were getting ready to move on base, and the activity increased. I was taking a nap, and my son came in and woke me up. He was a little scared and told me he saw a ghost, so I got up and he showed me where he saw it. There's a small hall that leads to the bathroom, and on one side is a small Japanese washer, and on the other side is a sink with a large mirror. He was trying to pull out a loose tooth. He's 11, and he had climbed up in the sink to see better. While he was wiggling his tooth, he happened to look up in the mirror and could see a grayish thing watching him. It was peeking from the right side of the washer. He said it was kind of wrinkled and had black holes where its eyes were, a slit for the mouth, and looked kind of skull-like. He said it startled him, and when he turned to look at it, it vanished. He thought he was just seeing something and blew it off and went back to wiggling his tooth. He looked up in the mirror again, and there it was, only this time it was peeking from the left side of the washer, and again it vanished when he turned to look at him. That's when he came and got me. It wouldn't show itself to me. The next day, my son and I was playing a computer game, and we heard this crash come from my bedroom. We got up to see what it was, and my lamp had been knocked off in the floor. Now, there is no way it could have just fallen off on its own. It's heavy, and it weighs about 15 or 20 pounds. We cleaned up the mess, and when my husband came home from work, I told him what had happened. Well, later on that night, I got dressed for bed, and I decided to look at my coins. I have several, including 3 Mercury head dimes. I got out my magnifying glass and was digging through my collection, looking for a certain Mercury dime. It wasn't there. I found the other two, but I couldn't find the one I was looking for. So I tore up my bedroom looking for it. I went through my nightstand drawers and under the bed, but I couldn't find it. I finally gave up and put the coins away and went to sleep. In the morning when I woke up, guess what? It was laying on my nightstand right beside my head. Now, I know for a fact that there was nothing on there when I went to bed, because the lamp had fallen off earlier that day and there was nothing left. The last thing that happened was when we had moved everything out of the apartment, and all that was left was the government furniture that they were going to pick up the next day. We were cleaning the furniture as well as the apartment. My husband was in the bedroom and I was in the hall with the washer, cleaning the sink. My husband had the only roll of paper towels that we had left with him. I asked him if he had any more. He said yes, that they were on the dresser. I went to get them and I couldn't find them. We looked in the bedroom, front room, and kitchen. He was getting all frustrated because he couldn't find them. After a while, we gave up and went to bed. In the morning, when we got up, my son was already up and he was eating a Pop-Tart wrapped in a paper towel. My husband asked him where he got the towel from, and he said that they were laying by the phone. And sure enough, there they were in plain sight. One last thing, ever since we moved into the apartment, there was a bad smell. It was like rotten eggs or sulfur. It wasn't there all the time. It would just come and go. Was it connected to the haunting? I don't know, but I have a feeling it was. The small creature. When I was 8 years old, I woke up one night and had to go to the bathroom. When I came back, I got in bed and pulled the covers up to my chin. We had a hallway light that was left on all night so we could find our way to the bathroom at the end of the hall. As I lay there for about 1 minute, I saw a shadow coming down the hall and I thought, oh, I must have woken my mom up and she's coming to see what I'm doing. I was shocked to see a little man, about 2 or 3 feet tall, turn in my doorway. He just stood there and I couldn't see his face because once you step in my doorway, the hallway light doesn't shine on you anymore. I could tell that it had a hat on that looked like the kind that the pilgrims wore. I could also tell that it had a long, bushy beard, but I could not see his face clearly. I sat there, and I was so scared I couldn't move. Then he started to walk to the end of my bed. I just about shit my pants. The only thing I could think of was to lay down and pull the covers over my head, because he blocked the only exit out of my room. I lay there under the covers waiting for him to go to bed and grab me. I must have laid there about 5 minutes, but it seemed like eternity. I finally got the courage to slowly pull the covers down, and I couldn't see him anymore. I jumped off the end of the bed in one leap and flew to my parents' room. I woke my mother up and told her what I had seen, but she just said I was dreaming and to go back to bed. I'll tell you that I went and turned on every light in the house and looked around all over the place. I didn't go to sleep until the sun came up, and I'm positive that I did not dream it. I'm 40 years old now, and I still am a little afraid of the dark. The only people I've told this story to is my mother, who passed away in 1978, and my present wife. The truth is, no matter how old you are, something like this haunts you for the rest of your life. The Cursed Church. I live in Virginia, just outside of Washington, D.C. There's a churchyard in Maryland, which is about a half hour's drive away. It's just down the street from my ex-girlfriend's house. One night, a friend of mine and I were driving around, just talking and stuff, and we ended up in Maryland, and there was a restaurant I wanted to go eat at. On our way to the restaurant, we drove by the aforementioned church. It was around 2 in the morning. Right as soon as we passed the church, I pulled my car over to the side of the road, and both my friend and I looked at each other and asked each other if we felt a cold feeling as we passed the church. It was winter time, but I had the heat on in my car, and if anything, both my friend and I were very hot inside my car. But for some reason, we both got incredibly cold the moment we passed the church. To test it out, we went back a week later, and we experienced the same feeling. We went back at different times of the day, and no matter what time, if it was 2 in the afternoon or 2 in the morning, it was always the same feeling. My ex-girlfriend told me about something that had happened right near the church. When you're driving on the road that the church is on, there's a bunch of trees, kind of a mini forest, that go back a little ways. Supposedly about 6 or 7 years before, sometime around the beginning of the decade, two girls were found murdered in those woods. I've never had a chance to check this out for certain, but it's something I've been meaning to do for a while. Something else that's somewhat odd is that every single person I've been to that area with, I don't keep in contact with. My ex-girlfriend and I had a pretty bad breakup, and we didn't quite work out as friends. The friend I mentioned and I started getting into a lot of fights over things, and we no longer have contact with each other. Another person who went to the church with me was the aforementioned friend's ex-girlfriend. We spent a lot of time together, and she's a photographer and was interested in taking pictures of the church. One night, we braved the chilling feeling and parked in the church and used two rolls of film on pictures of the church and the surrounding area. She developed her own film and has never had any of her film go bad, but not a single one of the 48 pictures we took turned out. As for my relationship with her, she went back to her ex-boyfriend when she found that I had feelings for her and basically left me with a broken heart. I've never been to the church by myself, and it's something I'm not planning to do ever again. The Old Woman in White. In the winter of 1995, I worked in a youth home that was over 100 years old. Since it was during Christmas vacation, most of the kids had gone to their families or stayed with friends, and only 8 were at this large home. Late at night, I walked down a dark hallway, making sure all the kids were in bed. At the end of the hall was a large mirror. Looking down this hall, I could see myself and the hall behind me. I also saw an old woman dressed in white. She had no expression on her face, but we made eye contact through the mirror. Without turning my head, I called out, asking why she was upstairs. I had thought she might be a staff member, though there were only 2 other staff members and neither of them looked anything like her. The woman slowly turned away and started walking. I whipped my head around and still saw no one. I jogged down the hall and rounded the corner and still saw no one. At that moment, I felt very uncomfortable, as though I was in someone else's house without their permission. I left the area shaking and went to speak with the other staff members. Keep in mind that there were no kids on that side of the house. After speaking with several staff members in confidence over the next couple of months, I uncovered that most of them had seen this same woman in white. One staff member stated that she felt a hand grab her shoulder, but she didn't see anyone, nor was anyone home at that time. Another staff member, who was my supervisor, heard his name being called loudly. He ran down the stairs and saw a smoky apparition of a woman in white just before he ran through her. He said he felt a bone-chilling cold and he experienced a sense of terror, but thought the feeling was from the ghost, not from him. At noon, while the kids were at school, 3 staff members witnessed the woman in white walk by the door of the main office. Since the doors were locked and no one was home, they had thought someone broke in. When the staff members went out to talk to the woman, no one was there. Several of the kids that are housed here reported seeing a woman as well as a few other people. One girl who was very stable and never cried was screaming. When I had gone in to see what was wrong, she said a woman walked into her room and smiled at her. The same story was told by several of the girls. Since this place houses young girls, the staff felt it best to vehemently deny any stories about ghosts. At least one case, a staff member was fired due to their inability to keep this fact a secret. After researching this house, I found that it had once been privately owned by a family who had been murdered in the house. This is a true story. No place to live. There's more than corn in Indiana, or at least from my experiences, there's a few ghostly hauntings to visit you along the way. My first experience with ghostly Gus was when I was about 7 years old. We lived in a small house near the old Grand Trunk Railroad that crosses through our two cities, South Bend being the other one. One summer night, I was lying awake in bed, looking out my window into the darkness, dreaming boyhood things that typical seven-year-olds dream about, when all of a sudden, this dark, faceless shadow figure looked in on me from the window, holding what looked to be a lantern that emanated an eerie glowing light that did not cast about the house or figure, but stayed within its lantern shape. Terrified of this visitor that was watching me from my window, I darted out of my room screaming for my mom and dad, which slept in the room next door. My father went outside to investigate and found no footprints at the window, and the dog outside was calm. It had rained earlier, and my mother had a garden around the foot of the house, in the back, and in the side with fresh dirt, so there should have been something, but there were no tracks. Of course, my parents dismissed me and let me sleep on the couch that night, for I was too terrified to go back to the bedroom. The next morning, I went about my daily ritual of bothering the next-door neighbor lady, which was one of the older senior citizens who us block kids liked hanging around with, and I told her about my visitor. As I described what I saw, her face became pale, and she told me that 20 years before, her husband worked for the railroad as a switchman, and it was just down the path a little ways from the house at the tracks. That very night, he met his death from a train while walking home along the tracks from work late at night. My parents were a transient type of family, so we ended up in various places during the 12 years I lived with them. We moved to Plymouth, Indiana for a while when I was about 10 years old. One day while we were walking down the street with the neighborhood kids on my way to my first day at school, we passed a boarded up house where the group of the other kids told me was haunted. They told me a few years prior, a young single woman was brutally raped and murdered in that house, and ever since everyone was scared of going in it. Being the inquisitive type that I was, I took it upon myself to prove those scaredy cats wrong and go explore the house myself. I took my trusted dog with me one day over to the house, and I entered the doorway. My dog's hair raised on his back, and he ran. Thinking nothing about his odd behavior, I continued into the house. I explored the house from room to room for a while, and nothing happened. Then, while standing in the dining room looking around, a very cold chill overcame me, and I felt something ice cold grab my arm and hold it tight for a few seconds. I was scared out of my wits and ran home as fast as I could. I felt a burning sensation on my arm where it was held by that chilling hand, and discovered a bright red mark on my arm the shape of slender fingers. To this day, I still have a scar on my arm in the place of that mark that outlines a finger. And since that day, I've become oddly sensitive of apparitions, and in most cases, they tell me who they are and why they are there. Then, when I was about 11 years old, I was living in a foster home, and while their foster parents were away one night, my foster sister and brother and I got bored and broke out the Ouija. We played with it for a while when all of a sudden this horrible pig-like demon thing started scratching at our living room window, and the pointer on the board was going nuts. Of course, we swore off the Ouija board ever since. Maybe this has something to do with the previous encounter, I'm not sure, but the next story is. All my other encounters with spiritual sights from that day until I was 25 years old was more of a sensing than of an actual visit. But one night, I was visiting a girlfriend and her friend's house up in the Woody neighborhood area of the Notre Dame campus. I told the girls I had to use a tree, it would be right back, and proceeded to the Woody section next to her house. I entered a section and saw this ghostly woman, about 19 or 22 years old, standing there crying, and I asked her why. She told me her name was Mary and that she was raped and murdered in 1971 at that spot while on her way to class. She wanted to see her mother in Philadelphia, but did not know how to get home. We must have been in a ghostly conversation for a spell, because the gals were calling for me and throwing their usual shake it more than once insults. I walked out of the cluster of trees, and they said I was white as a ghost. I usually am after an encounter. They seemed to take a lot out of me, and I was chilled to the bone. I told Susie, my girlfriend's friend, about what I saw and what the woman told me, and Susie said, without a doubt, that situation occurred. If you think these incidents are interesting, you should read my great-grandfather's book on poltergeists, Fact or Fiction, circa 1910. One of the first scientific studies ever conducted in the Midwest. One of the stories I recalled my grandfather telling me was when he was a boy, he used to go to the field trips with his father, and there was this farmhouse that was haunted. It was something that they were investigating. Every time someone tried to live there, hot iron nails would fly at them from nowhere and suddenly disappear as fast as they came. I guess then it's something in the family. The Midnight Visitors. One night, I thought I was having a dream. I felt that I was in a dream state, almost half asleep, half awake. I was lying in my bed when I heard the deadbolt unlock on my door. Then I heard the chain fall down from my chain lock. I heard someone come into my apartment, and I heard a panting sound from some dogs. I heard this person walk into my kitchen, and he ran the water in the sink. I heard the dogs give little yelps as if playing with one another. I heard the man speak softly to them. I heard the tapping of their toenails on the linoleum floor in my kitchen. I was trying to get out of my bed so I could hide in my closet or something, but guess what? I couldn't move my arms or my legs. I couldn't cry out or scream. I told myself, this usually just happens when you are dreaming, so don't be afraid. This will pass. You will wake up. But I couldn't get myself awake. I then heard the dogs coming down the hallway and head towards my bedroom. I shut my eyes as tight as I could. I pretended to be asleep. Asleep in a dream, how ironic. I felt a very heavy paw or two come into the bedspread. I felt the hot breath of one of the dogs on my face as he sniffed me. Then, the way my English pointer used to do, the dog breathed out hard with its nostrils, and I felt the bangs on my forehead blow up into the air. I was scared to death, and I could only hear my heart pounding so very fast and felt the blood pumping inside my ears. I was about to realize that this man was about to come into my room and maybe rape me or kill me when I heard him from my front door call out to these animals. I never looked at them. I assumed they were dogs because I have owned many a puppy in my time, and they made the same noises. The dogs left my bedroom. The door opened and then closed. They were gone. I went to the bathroom and got a glass of water. I was too scared to go investigate the living room or the kitchen until it got light out. I tried to go back to sleep, but it was tossing and turning, and finally I got up about 5:30 a.m. as the sun was coming up. I made sure the door was locked. I looked to see if there was a bowl of water on the floor in the kitchen, but there was nothing. See, you idiot, it was a stupid dream. I went and slept for a few more hours. Later that day, I was setting up my ironing board in the living room when I saw something on the rug. I didn't know what it was. I looked closer and discovered it was a piece of poop. Go ahead, you can laugh, but I can tell you, I was frightened to death. I went and got a paper towel to clean it up. When I leaned over to pick this up, I put the towel around it, and it turned to dust, almost as if it was old and petrified, as if it had come out of the body of a dead dog. This is a true story. It hasn't happened since then, and I pray it never will. The Haunted Brothel. The experience I had occurred about 20 years ago in a small town known as Alma. This is a ghost town that's located in Colorado. At that time, hardly anyone lived in the area. Once upon a time, it had been a boom town when the mines were operating and there was a gold rush going on. But a diphtheria plague had killed almost everyone. There was a saloon girl known as Silver Heels who stayed and took care of the dying until finally she died too. The surviving people were so grateful they named the mountain after her. Many people were buried with only a stone to mark the grave. When people such as me went back to the area to homestead, a lot of strange things began happening. Most of us had a lot of sleepless nights and couldn't explain the sounds that were making our animals crazy. Finally, my friend and I decided we would camp in an old abandoned bordello known as a Schwartz House in the heart of Alma. There was a pot-bellied stove in the parlor area and a wood-cooked stove in the kitchen. The house was very large and had 7 rooms upstairs. There still remained a portrait of Mrs. Schwartz on the parlor wall near the entrance of the house. One of the old-timers there had said that the old woman would never allow women in the house unless they worked for her. We laughed about it, and all of us went to our respective rooms. My buddy Kenny and I were staying in one room, sleeping in our sleeping bags, across the room from one another. Suddenly, I heard him start yelling, "What the hell are you doing? Get away from me! Stop that!" I woke up and saw him struggling in a sleeping bag. I thought some animal had gotten into the bag with him. I turned on my flashlight, and it startled him. He said, "How did you get over there?" We both looked at the sleeping bag and something was moving and then it stopped. He said, "There was a woman in this bag with me, I swear." I didn't know what to say, but I could tell that he was scared out of his mind. It was almost dawn, so I went downstairs to heat some water for coffee. I had a small machete for cutting kindling wood. I cut some for the small stove and some for the cook stove. As I loaded up the cook stove and started the fire, I heard what sounded like an argument between two women. I actually heard what sounded like scuffling. As I turned the corner to see what was going on, the machete flew into the wall near my head. I stood there, motionless, realizing that there was no one there but me. At least no one I could see. The machete was in the wall, still moving back and forth from the force of the impact. I packed my gear and left the house and never returned. So did my friends. The house is still there standing and still abandoned till this day. Texas haunting. When we first moved to San Angelo, Texas, we were leasing a home. I found myself unemployed as I had left my job in Houston to go with my husband who was transferred. At the time, we had 2 teenage sons still at home. My mother was in a nursing home, so that left me alone all day. Every day around noon, if I was standing at the kitchen sink, I would see a man in a dark suit come up the walkway to the front door. Being alone, I was hesitant to go and see who it was. I would go to the door, but there was no one there, and the same thing would happen between 4:30 and 5 p.m. I said nothing to anyone about this as I didn't want my husband to think I was losing it. Then one day I heard my 17-year-old son talking to his friend. He told him that there was this man in a dark suit whom he would see walk to the front door, but when he went to the door, there was no one there. I was quite relieved to know that I wasn't crazy. Then we would hear someone put a key in the front door lock, but the door never opened, and neither did the storm door. The doorbell would ring, no one was there. My youngest son insisted on moving his bed to the other side of the room. Something about shadows. Things would disappear and reappear in strange places. One evening, as I sat alone, the dog's fur stood on end, and he began to growl at the entrance hall. I looked, and there was this smoky-looking stuff that came together and formed an elongated oval shape, and then just disappeared. We bought a home on the other side of the city. It felt warm and quite homey. Nothing strange was happening there until we repainted the guest room. I went in there to vacuum the following day, and I noticed 2 long rows of wet spots on one wall. I panicked, thinking we must have a water pipe that was leaking. I touched one and it felt cold, but not wet. So I pressed the tissue to the wall and it absorbed no moisture. We finally got the spots covered, but it took 2 coats of bleach check and a lot more paint to do it. I would get this cold feeling. It felt like I was being watched. The cats would bat at things in the air that were not visible. The guest room wall remained a mystery. There was one spot on it that felt electrically charged, but it really wasn't. Things would disappear and reappear in strange places. For instance, once when my husband was packing to go to a seminar, he was taking new toiletries out of their wrappers and packing them. He left the wrappings on the bed. I was there with him. He took some cash out of his pocket and handed it to me. I told him to put it in my purse, which was on my dresser. I watched him do it. I then gathered up the wrappers to take to our bathroom and throw it in the wastebasket. When I went to drop the paper in the basket, the money was in the trash, all crumpled up. The doorbell would ring and no one would be there. One day a blue car came up our driveway and the doorbell rang. The dog barked and ran to the door and I followed. Through the door glass, I could see a plaid shirt on a man. I opened the door and there was no one there, and there was no car either. My daughter-in-law told me that, and I had not mentioned any of this to her. As she was about to put her arm around me in the kitchen, something pushed her away, something that felt cold. And my other daughter-in-law said flatly that she would not be staying in that guest room ever again. She didn't want to discuss it. The stove would be turned on mysteriously by itself, almost causing fires. The list goes on and on. I was almost glad to move to Oklahoma just to get out of that house. And all was fine there for the first couple of months. Now it's starting here. Things are disappearing and haven't even started to reappear yet. The cat sees something that isn't there and I feel like I'm being watched again. Even getting the feeling that I'm blanketed in something cold as ice. In Texas at one point, we set the tape recorder up and for the most part there was nothing. Except in the middle of one tape there was this moan. It was very eerie. We originally came from Pennsylvania where we lived in an old Victorian home that was built in 1832. There were things in that house, especially at night, when you could hear voices but could never quite make out what they were saying, and footsteps in the hall. We all heard these things but figured a house that old had a lot of history. Some of it was bound to have stayed there. But these homes I'm referring to are relatively new homes. Our present home is 15 years old. The only thing I can think is that it's not the houses that are haunted. It's me.